Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So you might remember from last week's class, Venerable Geshe gives a definition of wisdom, which he says, wisdom is a virtuous mind that functions mainly to dispel doubt and confusion by understanding its object thoroughly. So wisdom is a virtuous mind. So virtue, as we know from other classes, is a phenomenon that's the main cause of happiness. And so what's non-virtue? Non-virtue is a phenomenon that is the main cause of suffering. An example of a natural non-virtue is anger. Yeah, so whenever anger is present, we're miserable. Whenever wisdom is present, an example of a virtue, whenever love is present in our heart, the mind of generosity, for example, it's peaceful, and so therefore we're happy. So happiness really does depend upon the mind. It depends upon virtue. It depends upon wisdom. And suffering also originates from the mind. It depends upon non-virtue, of which there are many non-virtuous thoughts that we have. And we have continually in our daily life that are always vying to disturb our peace, all stemming from ignorance. Ignorance being, as I said before, an unknowing of the various things that we need to know to live a happy, peaceful, and meaningful life. And so we'll note that as we sort of get more and more into the practice of meditation and Buddhism, our life becomes a lot more balanced, or our mind becomes a lot more balanced. The extremes of attachment, the extremes of aversion or anger get sort of worn away by our beginning to see things in a different light, you know? Like the sharp edge is sort of, worn away off things, off situations. We learn to practice patience instead of hatred. We learn to practice love instead of, anger and so forth, you know? We try to combine our life with the practice of wisdom, which is what we're going to learn about tonight. So therefore, the practice of wisdom in meditation session and outside of meditation session is fundamental to living a happy life. Without wisdom, with a mind only sort of governed by ignorance, there's no real happiness to be found everywhere, anyway, because it's just like that person leaving their house in the pitch black dark, searching for something they cannot find, they cannot see. Yeah. They're looking for happiness, but they cannot find it. So that the part of the definition, Geshe says, you know, it functions to mainly dispel doubt and confusion by understanding its object thoroughly, which is a really important point, because I'm going to use an example now, which I heard recently, because someone was telling me a bit of a story, because we were having a bit of a chat about mistaken minds and wrong awarenesses recently, this person. And so I stay with this couple on, you know, Monday nights down in the Central Coast. And the female, the lady, she was telling me a little story about how one night she went to bed, and then she got up in the middle of the night and decided to walk down the length of the house towards the kitchen. I'm not sure what she was walking down there for. Maybe a drink or something. But she didn't turn the light on. So obviously very familiar with the house. And so she's probably just walking down there. And she sees in the corner of her eye something in the corner, right? Initially she thinks, is it a mouse? Or is it? No, it's not a mouse. It must be a rat. It's too big to be a mouse. And then she's thinking, no, it's not a rat. It's a guinea pig. So a guinea pig in a kitchen in the middle of the night. Okay? Okay. And so that's what she saw. She saw a guinea pig. And she thought to herself, what am I going to do? There's a guinea pig in the house. What do I do to remove this guinea pig? And so she's sort of standing there stunned a little bit, and she's thinking about what she can do. And she subtly walks off down to the end of the house to pick up whatever she picked up. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, guinea pig catcher. I'm not sure. And anyway, she walks back to the kitchen nice and slowly, and it's still there in the same place it was before. It hasn't moved. It's amazing. And she's sort of looking, waiting for it to move. And then she turns the light on, and it's a tea towel on the floor. So in darkness, she saw a guinea pig. Yeah. With the light on, she saw what was there, a tea towel. So in the darkness of ignorance, we see enemies. We see friends, we see strangers. But through Buddha's eyes, his eyes are like free from ignorance, he sees living beings as being equal and full of potential. So what Buddha sees is quite different to what we see. Now, our mind's obstructed by this ignorance. It's as if our mind is constantly hallucinating things. And further to that, we're actually believing it, which is what self-grasping is. It's this belief in what's appearing to be true and to exist in the way that it appears to exist. So for this lady, there was no doubt there was a guinea pig in her kitchen. And that's why, and based on that appearance and belief, she then went off to the other end of the house to try to work out what she could do to catch that guinea pig. But there never was a guinea pig there. There never was. It's only when she turned the light on that she understood there wasn't a guinea pig. So I'll read that definition again. Wisdom is a virtuous mind that functions mainly to dispel doubt and confusion by understanding its object thoroughly. Yeah. So if we look very carefully, we'll see that all of Buddha's teachings are helping us to see things correctly as they are. Every teaching, we can say, functions to dispel ignorance in our mind. So from that point of view, we can say that every teaching is a wisdom teaching. With last week's teaching, what we're trying to understand with the teachings on emptiness is how things exist. Yeah, because things appear to exist in one way, but they exist in a very different way. So they appear to exist outside or independent on the mind that perceives them, but in truth, they are totally dependent upon the mind. Just like things seen in a dream, just like, as we're going to find out with the analogies tonight, things merely exist, mere appearance, mere name. They're empty like space. However, they don't appear to exist in that way. They appear to exist in and of themselves, not depending upon anything else. So what Buddha teaches us is that things appear one way, but they exist in a different way. Just like it appears to be a guinea pig, but it's just a tea towel. They appear to be an enemy, but in truth, they're a mother living being full of potential. So the more we merge our mind with the lamrim or the stage of the path, the more our mind, or the more we see things as they actually are. And as a result of that, due to virtue being present, virtue and wisdom being present in our heart, our mind remains peaceful and happy. We're free from suffering. In reality, there's nothing more protective than a qualified spiritual practice. It protects us from the very causes of suffering within our mind. Last week, after the Port Macquarie class in the morning, I was just about to stand up after the class, and then there's two ladies that come on a regular basis. They're sisters, and one of them is blind, so the other one brings her along, guides her along. And anyway, the sister who has good sight, she says to me as I'm about to step out of the room, she says, "Oh, Mick, the sister wants to say something, wants to tell you a story." And so I sat down, and she was saying that, I think it was the week before, she had to go off and have an MRI scan. That's where you go into the big machine. And this person, so she's blind, but she's also claustrophobic. And so she went into that machine, and she was having a really, really terrible time. A lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, and there was tears as well, you know. And then she just said to herself, "Now's the time to rely upon your meditation practice." And that's what she did while she was lying in the machine. She did her own meditation, and she said to me that she imagined being in the class again, singing the liberating prayer with everyone else. And the fear that she had disappeared. So think deeply about that, because it's teaching us about the nature of the appearances that we have and the response to them. That in truth, there never was a situation that was scary from its own side. It was the mind that conjured up. You know, just like the guinea pig, there never was a guinea pig. The situation was never anxiety producing from its own side. It all came from within. Like, fear is inside. The cause of fear is inside too. If the cause of fear wasn't inside, then meditation wouldn't solve that problem. All she did was shifted her mind into a better place. You know, she relied upon her meditation. You think about it, she turned to faith, a mind of faith. And as a result of that, faith and refuge and meditation, and also sangha, like the spiritual friends and her class and so forth, that fear just disappeared. And she said it went so quickly. Therefore, there's nothing more meaningful that we can do with our life than to increase our wisdom and to dispel the darkness of our ignorance. The more we accomplish this ourselves, the better we are in a position to help other people to do the same.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.